Order the conference committee on Senate Bill 244. This is the first conference committee. I've been part of this session, so we'll just kind of feel our way along, and we'll start with counsel.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 244A, there's two parts to the bill. The first part deletes the sunset from the provision in ORS 138 relating to a convicted person's ability to request DNA testing of evidence. It's my understanding that is not sort of where the dispute or the controversy is on this bill. The second part would permit a healthcare provider and insurer to retain genetic information of an individual without consent if the retention is for treatment, payment, or healthcare operations by the provider. It clarifies that a healthcare provider and insurer may disclose genetic information of an individual without consent if the disclosure complies with ORS 192.5203, which permits disclosure in limited instances.
Okay, I have no sign-up sheet here, so I'd like to call Gwen Dayton and Andrea Meyer. And again, the only reason for this conference committee is the genetic privacy part of this bill. I know, Andrea, you have a stake in both of these parts, and there's no intention here to do anything about the sunset deletion from the DNA innocence part of the bill. We want to confine the discussion to the genetic privacy issue. So, welcome.
Thank you, Chairperson, members of the committee. I'm Gwen Dayton. I'm the Executive VP and General Counsel for the Oregon Association of Hospitals and Health Systems, but I'm here today as a member of the Advisory Committee on Genetic Privacy and Research. Thank you for the opportunity to explain the amendments that were made to Senate Bill 244. I've given you written testimony, but I will be more brief than my testimony appears and let you know that the amendments to Senate Bill 244 are brought to you from the Advisory Committee. They are the recommendation of the Advisory Committee. This is a group that's comprised of stakeholders on the issue of genetic information and disclosure, including folks like Andrea Meyer, who's with me today, who have a strong interest in the privacy of medical information. The Advisory Committee, after a lot of work and deliberation, recommends that Oregon allow disclosure of genetic information for the limited purposes of payment, treatment, and healthcare operations without authorization. Current Oregon law would require authorization in those circumstances. Oregon law was developed that requires that authorization was developed prior to the adoption of the HIPAA privacy standards. The HIPAA privacy standards establish national privacy requirements, and they do allow disclosure of medical information for treatment, payment, and healthcare operations without authorization. There are a number of other restrictions that apply, and I'm glad to talk about them if you like, but the goal of the Advisory Committee was to align Oregon law related to genetic information with national privacy law. Part of the reason that we want to do that is because of the breadth of the definition of genetic information. Genetic information includes not just the genetic test, but any information obtained from the test. And so that means that Oregon providers have to obtain authorization to disclose a broad spectrum of information. It's not just the test, but it's any treatment provided to that person for the condition that was diagnosed by the test. So, there, by way of example, Down syndrome is diagnosed with a genetic test. So it's not just that test result, but it's any treatment of this child that presumably is diagnosed early in life for that syndrome throughout that child's life that would require authorization to disclose information about their Down syndrome. So when the child is 10 years old, 15 years old, the provider needs to know to get authorization every time they want to disclose that medical chart to another provider or to an insurer for payment purposes. So it really imposes a significant obligation on the provider that can interfere with the provision of care because you have to get authorization before you can give the information to another provider. And also make it hard on the patient because you have to get authorization before you can even bill for services. And this is treatment that is sometimes far removed from the actual test itself. So that's the reasoning of the advisory committee in bringing this before you, that these are routine disclosures that are already protected by HIPAA that the patient would want us to be making. And we appreciate your consideration of our amendments.
Gwen, you mentioned that the the privacy provisions cover not only the test results, but any information gained from those test results. Is there anything in this bill to limit the use of information as it regards billing and so on and treatment and authorization, to limit that to the diagnosis and to prohibit, I don't know why anybody would do this, but to prohibit providing actual test results to the billing operation? I think that was the concern that we had in this bill.
Thank you, Chair Burdick. There is nothing in this bill in and of itself that would prevent the test result from being disclosed, but I can tell you first that HIPAA requires that any information that's disclosed for payment purposes be only that that is minimally necessary for the purpose of the disclosure. So if the test result itself is not necessary for billing, then it wouldn't be disclosed. The diagnosis, of course, would be. The other thing that's important to remember is that it is in the bill very expressly that insurers cannot use anything disclosed to them, any genetic information disclosed to them, for underwriting purposes. We wanted to make that very clear. And all the discrimination provisions currently in law remain in Oregon law to prevent inappropriate use of that information.
And those particular HIPAA provisions that limit disclosure to that information that is minimally necessary, those national HIPAA provisions are binding on Oregon because we have our own.
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, yes, they are binding on Oregon. Several years ago, some of you may recall, we did revise Oregon law to be consistent with HIPAA, so Oregon law aligns with state law, Oregon law aligns with federal law in that regard.
Can you foresee a situation where anyone's genetic test results would be submitted to a billing department? In other words, the actual technical content of their DNA. Can you imagine a situation or foresee a situation where that information would be submitted to a billing department?
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, I don't work for or represent an insurer or a billing company, but that is hard for me to imagine.
Are there questions from the committee, either side? Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think part of this is that people always see more sometimes in bills than is actually there. The example Ms. Dayton gave me yesterday when I talked to her, the way that this would actually work under current law, and Ms. Dayton, please correct me if I'm wrong, is if I was a physician and I diagnosed a patient with cystic fibrosis and I did that in the normal way that might occur, I could disclose that as necessary, minimally necessary, to the other potential providers or to the insurance company to let them know that the diagnosis was cystic fibrosis. But if my diagnosis was based on a DNA test, I could not if that was the basis of my diagnosis.
Chair Burdick, Senator Devlin, that's correct, that we have a disparity now in Oregon law that if a condition is diagnosed through a genetic test, then any information flowing from the test is specially protected. But if the same condition is diagnosed through symptoms or otherwise, then it is not specially protected under the genetic privacy code.
Other questions?
Madam Chair, I think the House amendment to the bill is good. And I would support it.
Okay, that's very forthright. Ms. Meyer.
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, Andrea Meyer, Legislative Director for the ACLU of Oregon. I think I did testify on Senate Bill 759 before the Senate Committee and then testified on these amendments on Senate Bill 244 before the House Committee. And I just want to concur. A number of years ago, we changed the genetic privacy laws, and I managed to write the ACLU and apparently myself into that committee. Watch what you do. And so I do serve on the Advisory Committee on Genetic Privacy and Research, and this is something that we have discussed in great detail and believe it is a limited and appropriate change to the law, while at the same time keeping the protections that are important. And we will continue to be looking at DNA issues in Oregon. We've described it as providing exceptionalism. Is that the?
Yes.
And that dynamic in play with HIPAA coming in when that didn't exist before, its uses, its potential abuses, how we store it, collected, all those things are some issues that come in that committee, and we will continue to participate fully and attempt to do my best to understand what the doctors and all these folks are actually talking about when we talk about DNA.
Yes.
So I do urge you to pass this bill. As amended on the House side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, just, you know, my concern when we had the bill in committee was the removal of Sunset, and quite honestly, it's simply because the world of DNA moves at light speed, and the world of legislation moves at snail speed, and requiring us to relook at the issue on a regular basis, I think, is appropriate, but I'm not going to fall on my sword over it. We can still continue to look as time goes forward.
Chair Burdick, Senator Cruz, you bet. I actually think the fact that the legislature works slowly, it's time to remove the sunset, but we will continue to work and bring things forward as the dynamic changes. Indeed, just for the record, because I have to say this, the importance of needing to find out how law enforcement and judiciary and other folks keep the biological evidence after the case is closed and how that's retained, because you can never have a DNA post-conviction test if it's not retained, because our law that we have requires the DNA evidence biological to be in the custody of the government. Mm-hmm. It's not new evidence that they found somewhere else. So how we retain it really is important, and I just encourage, as we have legislation things and task force looking at this, that this become a priority to someone to call in the counties and the cities and the chiefs of police and judiciary branches to what happens in your county when a case is adjudicated and it's fully gone through its post-conviction relief. Thank you.
I don't know. This is twice in 2 weeks I've agreed with you, Andrea. I'm starting to really get uncomfortable.
I know, Chair Burdick, Senator Cruz, and on record, too,
I
so
know,
we can actually lift
I know.
It. That free speech thing the other
I
day.
Know.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else who wants to testify or add information to this hearing? Okay. I will close the public hearing. Which I don't think I quite opened, but I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 244A and open a work session on Senate Bill 244A. A conference committee was formed when the Senate refused to concur in House amendments to Senate Bill 244. After talking with the chair of the House Judiciary Committee on the House amendments, I have decided to concur in the House amendments dated May 26th and repass the bill. So Senator Cruz.
Madam Chair. I move that the Senate concur in the House amendments dated May 22nd and that the bill be repassed.
Senator Cruz has moved that the Senate concur in the House amendments dated May 22nd and that the bill be repassed. Is there any discussion? Senator, Representative McPherson.
And Madam Chair, I'm not sure exactly what role we play since we're being acceded to here, obviously I will support that, and I'm sure my House colleagues will as well.
We're just telling you were right.
We like these amendments the first time, we like them still.
Thank you.
I think our member in committee of Madam Chair is that Mrs. Myers told us that she would always be watching this, but she was going to support it. She wasn't all that comfortable, but I made a note of that.
Well, I appreciate everyone's indulgence. Part of the problem here is that we did not have a chance to look at this particular issue in the Senate. I have a very high degree of trust in the work group that's formed around this issue. So I appreciate everyone's indulgence in just letting us flesh this out and get a comfort level that we will be able to share with our colleagues on the floor. So with that, are there any objections to the motion? So ordered. The carrier in the House will be Representative McPherson.
The version we passed originally is now going to be the version taken back to the Senate floor. Do we have to bring it back for a vote on the House floor?
It's already passed the House.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we don't need a House carrier anymore.
Right.
I will carry this in the Senate, and I will try to actually be present that day.
We have
Both the works have on Senate Bill 5th.
And then went over for concurrence.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Again, this is still a little rusty.
And if the chief clerk of the House concludes that we do need to revote on it, then I will carry it to a concurrence and ask for the same vote people took before.
Representative McPherson, you will not, because nothing has changed. You don't have to revote on something you've already passed.
I understand the logic of that very well, Senator, although sometimes I find logic doesn't necessarily control our processes around here.
You've discovered that as well, huh? Okay.
Okay. Before I close this work session, I would like to... Do we have to do this before we close the work session? Okay. I would like all committee members to remain and sign all three copies. And again, appreciate the opportunity to get this solved, and I will close the work session on Senate Bill 244A, and this meeting is adjourned.